going to do something I asked people to do on the website. I don't know if I sent you the email, if I even told you, suggested you do that. Very simply put, what Jesus told people to do, told his disciples to do, they went out to do it, and that was between Acts chapter 1 and Acts chapter 8. And then Paul gets saved in Acts chapter 9, and even then, see, there's some transitional time. So again, it's just an opportunity for us to talk about how to understand our Bible instead of me preaching at you and bugging you about some things and all that. But Acts chapter 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 is where some heavy-duty action takes place for Christians and the apostles. Major activity. And 7, there's an absolutely marvelous historical summary from Stephen, the first half. And then the second half, or the last part of Acts chapter 7, things don't go well for Stephen. Is that putting it nicely? And then Acts chapter 8, there's some things there from Peter that are important, and some things take place in there. Then we get to Acts chapter 9, and then Paul meets the Lord face to face, and that sort of a thing. And what I thought we would do tonight is look at the Great Commission directly. Just go right into this thing and find where in the Bible it's at. It's not in Paul's teachings, it's not in the Gospels. But if you would, look at, let's turn to John chapter, what did you do this morning? John chapter 15, I think we were at. And we see some things in there. And we have to remember that what Jesus is saying here is he's talking about the up and coming days when he is crucified and he leaves. And in 14, he talks about, I have to leave. I'm going to give you the comforter. I have to do this. I can't give you the comforter until I leave. Simple as that. And so then, for example, we see in chapter 15, look at verse 16. Ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you. And we know that's who he's talking about here. And ordained you that ye should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatsoever ye shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it to you. Now he's talking about these guys going out to the world. He's going out to what we come to call the Great Commission. And he teaches that at the end of Matthew and the end of Mark. So he's telling these disciples, these apostles as the exact 12 are called, that you're going to go out there and you're going to do what you're going to do. And I'm your friend because I'm going to tell you what the Father has told me to tell you, and we're going to go do this thing. Verse 17, these things I command you, that you love one another. Okay? If the world hates you, which you're going to find out how much the world hates them in a few chapters, you know that it hated me before it hated you. If you are of the world would love his own. But because you are not of the world, but I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hateth you. Remember the word that I said unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord. If they have persecuted me, they will also persecute you. And that's what's going to take place with these apostles. But all these things will they do unto you for my name's sake, because they know not him that sent me. So we see references where Jesus is telling these apostles, you know, you're about to go out there, and I'm going to give you the comforter, I'm going to give you the Holy Ghost, and you're going to be able to do these signs and wonders, and you're going to be able to do these things, and you're going to get clobbered and beat up, and people are going to arrest you, and you're going to have to stick up for me, and it's all about me, he says. And so it happens. It just takes place. And for some reason, for many reasons, there's a huge confusion there that everything that Jesus says in the gospel that those guys are going to go out to do has been carried on all the way through now. You know, there's one thing that we've kind of tried to tag onto this thing, and you know where Paul talks about not to mess with genealogies and things like that. You've heard that in Timothy, I think it is. Now think about that, and it was brought up to me the other week, and it was a good point, excellent point. You know, I don't think the Lord really cares that much about who your aunt, uncle is, whether they're a king or a queen, or if they've got some kind of a great, you know, where does my name change from Paulson back to Depew, which I'm really glad it was changed from Depew to Paulson. No offense to any Depews that are out there. Now that I think about it, and we talked about it, that's not what he's talking about. What is the biggest genealogical? Geological is the science thing. Okay. So the genealogical thing is the fact that there are people that trace their history of their church back to John the Baptist. That's a genealogy issue. Here we have the apostles' doctrine, and we have Baptists that are traced in their pastor's ordination all the way back to where he just read in John, back to John the Baptist, actually, to these apostles and even back to John the Baptist. That's a genealogy that causes problems. And who was it that came up with the greatest one? Well, that's the Catholics. The apostolic succession. And the Baptists are big in that thing too. So we see that there's been a huge carryover of what Jesus told the disciples to go do, and they went and they did that. And for some reason, people just seem to forget the fact that it was ended, and he went to Paul, the risen Christ. I mean, it's just this kind of a crazy thing. So let's look tonight. Let's look at probably Acts 1 through 6, maybe 7 if the time is there, and let's just read this thing. And we have to keep in mind that this is exactly what they were told to do at the end of Mark and the end of Matthew. This is what they were supposed to do. I mean, they did what they were supposed to do. Now, before we do that, let's look at Acts chapter 3. Look at Acts chapter 3 just for a minute here. And look at verse 25. Ye are the children of the prophets and of the covenant which God made with our fathers, saying unto Abraham, and in thy seed shall all the kindreds of the earth be blessed. So, what is he doing? He's telling the Jews to go out there and do what the Jews were supposed to do. And now that they've realized the Christ, and boy, they get clobbered in here, don't they? Peter's got some pretty tough things he says to these folks for rejecting Christ as they did. And we ought to be able to see that this is history. The book of Acts is a historical book. And as we read, think of these things. These are things, I won't tell you the verses, we'll run across them as we go. Think of these phrases or these topics or whatever that show up, and they don't show up in Paul's ministry. They don't show up in the fashion that they do with the Great Commission. Now, I can't go past this one. But that's okay. That's okay. Takes an awful lot to stop me, but that did. But I'm sorry. That's okay. That's okay. That's okay. We've got some, what have we got? We've got some, what have we got for afterwards? We've got, what are you going to, chocolate? Oh, we got those chocolate eclairs that David left. An eclair? Euclair? They're not any good. They're no good. No, I mean just for her. There's got to be a reward for this because now she's going to, you know, that's all right. We got chocolate. Now, don't do this every Sunday to get a chocolate, you know, a chocolate eclair, euclair, meclair, whatever those things are called. I forgot we had them because otherwise they'd have been gone by now. I forgot we had them in there. David left them with us all the time. We're on video thing, aren't we? Okay. So listen to this, and you'll find these as we read, that these people look like they had been with Jesus. There's one phrase you'll see. That their life, they just had such a joy about them. They had such a glow about them as such. And they were talking like, you must have been with Jesus. And isn't that how we're supposed to be if we've been reading our Bible? We get something tremendously excited about understanding what this stuff is going on. And you want to tell people. And I've heard it said about me, listen, if you want to ask him a question, you better have at least an hour for the answer. I want to answer all the question in its entirety of what I know so far. It's like I've been with the Lord. Well, I have been. These are his words. We've been with the risen Christ. So there's that. They had been with Jesus. Building shakes at one point in here. And now what you're going to hear is you're going to hear some things that are taking place or that they say take place or they say will happen in today's Christianity. The building will shake. People have always said, oh, and when the Lord showed up in our building and we just had a rocking and rolling in the music. It's a PA system that's got the building shaking, that kind of stuff. Boldness, very bold. Well, Paul was bold. But there's a boldness here that just got people in trouble. Paul got in trouble. There's a phrase here, thousands of souls. 5,000, 3,000. And that's something everybody wants, thousands of souls. So we look for that kind of a thing today. Walking, leaping, and praising God. We've got our crowd that runs around the building, runs around the aisles, and grabs their crutches, and somebody carries them, and that kind of a thing. And what we're recognizing now is that's not only was that a Pentecostal thing, that's also Great Commission stuff. I can't see Paul running around. I mean, he, I can see him doing that kind of a thing, meekness and all that. You'll run across a place here. There's a guilt sermon put in here, And in the middle of this thing, they talk about wonder and amazement. Well, in order to be wondered and amazed, you have to what? See something. So they see what they see taking place. The building shakes and all this stuff takes place. And these people, this guy's getting healed. And this is wonder and amazement. And we see what this is all about. This is Pentecost. And all this is the Great Commission. Unity is mentioned in here a number of times. That would be nice to be unified. But we don't want to have unity based on our fellowship or our friendliness. We want it to be based on truth. They say that they, in chapter 5, they teach and preach Jesus Christ. Well, yeah, he's risen now. But what they're still teaching is not what the risen Christ taught to Paul. That's not being the same thing. They talk about repent and be converted. And we hear that all the time. Get your life right and get saved. Quit doing this and you can trust God. It's the other way around. Magnify the apostles in chapter 5. It talks about they magnified them. And we've got pastors and preachers and elders and this type of a thing who want to be magnified. I mean, they're the ones that have come up with all this great teaching stuff. When you go to a Bible conference, they put their picture. They tell you all about their numbers and their facts of their ministry and stuff. They want to be themselves magnified. Fear is talked in here. Cut to the heart. Cut to the heart. Now, we can still be cut to the heart because that's what the Word of God does. But it's not the preacher that cuts you to the heart. It's the Word of God. It's that Bible. And we see that there's a different healing takes place, miracle signs, and great wonders. It talks about Acts chapter 6. Acts chapter 2 and Acts chapter 4 mentions speaking in tongues. So that pops in there. Acts chapter 6, it says it continued in prayer. Well, Paul would have us what? Pray without ceasing. But there's a difference between you personally praying without ceasing, but to be continued in prayer is they've got a prayer meeting going on that's continued in prayer. Different kind of a thing going on. You think God is impressed that you can pray 24/7? No, that's what he's asked us to do, is stay in touch with him. But a 24-hour prayer meeting? There's no power in that as such. Acts 2:38 talks about remission. I repent and be baptized. 120 disciples in chapter 1, verse 15. I thought there were 12. Well, there's a lot more disciples than just the 12. What are the apostles? We saw in John chapter 6 that he lost a whole bunch of disciples. And we have people, what do they call it when you get saved? What do they want to do? They want to put you instantly into a what? Discipleship program. And yeah, you should learn what's coming up. But what do they teach you in a discipleship program? How to lead other people to the Lord. There's no feeding going on in there. It's the process on how to draw the net, that type of a thing. Talks about here, the flesh shall rest in hope, pride in their hat. I don't think that's what that means. Probably not even pride. Pricked in their heart. There it is. Acts 2:37. Again, that pops in there. Heart right with God is mentioned in there. Persecution. Lots of persecution and arresting in here. And we see people today that want to go out there and purposely get on the street and purposely get arrested because then they can be given God glory. Not necessarily. It mentions in the Word of God increased. That's good. It's also mentioned in there that you can blaspheme against the Holy Ghost and you're done. And it also mentions in here that you blaspheme against the law, against what Moses taught. That's what they accuse them of. Well, isn't that how serious they take what we say? We're against the Bible. What do you mean we're against the Bible? We're against Jesus. What do you mean we're against Jesus? Not at all. And then we see here, it talks about in chapter 5, the work of men or the work of God. There's people that rejoice in suffering, Acts chapter 5. So they're rejoicing in the fact that they're suffering. So again, they go out to suffer so they can rejoice in suffering. And I'm not into that. I don't see any worms in the cup jumping out of the cup to suffer on the hook, but that's their job. That's what's going to happen. And so that's not what we need to go out and do. Another one is covenant. Covenant's mentioned in here. You ever heard of the covenant folks? A lot of covenant folks out there. What is that? Well, it kind of varies, but they sign a covenant. And they go into the new covenant they get this stuff all mixed up with the covenant that Christ and Paul and Hebrews talks about. There's a covenant in our old hymn book. There's a covenant, I think, in the front or the back of the hymn book. And everybody that comes to this church was supposed to read that covenant and sign it. And this is what you promised to do within this local church. In other words, you come to this church, you're going to promise not to do any more sinning. That's kind of what it boils down to. That's a mixed up deal. Then we got a great example of a preacher that's not well received. And yet, that whole chapter is a marvelous chapter of history. You can find out how much you've learned about your Old Testament Bible by reading Acts chapter 7. Well, do I know this? I know this. I don't remember where this is at. Stephen puts us through a good test there. So let's do this. Let's just read probably the first five or six chapters and picture what's going on here. And this is real. This is what happened. But we have to remember that all the things that take place in these chapters are not what Paul preaches, and it does not have to take place today. And if it does, the chances are it's not of God. It would be of the devil, because he wants everybody to think that this is still going on. He wants people to follow the apostles' doctrine, not Paul's. He wants people to follow the teachings of Jesus, not the teachings of the risen Jesus, risen Christ. So, anyway. The former treatises have I made, O Theophilus, this is Luke writing, of all that Jesus began both to do and teach. Okay, so he's going to teach this stuff. Until the day in which he was taken up, after that he, through the Holy Ghost, had given commandment unto the apostles whom he had chosen. And remember, he said to them, I will give you the Comforter. There will come a time I will give you the Comforter, to whom also he showed himself alive after his passion by many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days, and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. And being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem. What are they doing in Jerusalem? Well, Jewish. But wait for the promise of the Father, which, saith ye have heard of me. For John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. When they therefore were come together, they asked of him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? And he said unto them, It is not for you to know the times or the seasons, which the Father hath put in his own power. But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. See, there he is again, come upon you. And ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and in the othermost part of the earth, where they were told not to go during the Gospels. And when he had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, which also said, Ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as ye have seen him go now into heaven. Revelation 19. Then returned they into Jerusalem from the mount called Olivet, which is from Jerusalem a Sabbath day's journey. And when they were come in, they went up into an upper room, where both Peter and James and John and Andrew and Philip and Thomas, Bartholomew and Matthew, James the son of Alphaeus, and Simon Zealotus and Judas, the brother of James. These all continued with one accord in prayer and supplication, that's good, with the women and Mary the mother of Jesus and his brethren. And in those days Peter stood up in the midst of the disciples and said, the number of names together were about 120. That's a lot of people. That's not the 12. Men and brethren, this scripture must needs have been fulfilled, which the Holy Ghost by the mouth of David spake before concerning Judas, which was guide to them that took Jesus. For he was numbered with us, and obtained part of this ministry. Now this man purchased a field with a reward of iniquity, and falling headlong he burst asunder in the midst, and all of his bowels gushed out. And it was known unto all the dwellers at Jerusalem, insomuch as that field is called in their proper tongue, Exodema, that is to say, the field of blood. For it is written in the book of Psalms, Let his habitation be desolate, and let no man dwell therein, and his bishopric let another take. For four of these men, which have accompanied with us all the time that the Lord Jesus went in and out among us, beginning from the baptism of John until the same day that he was taken up from us, must one be ordained to be a witness with us of his resurrection. There's your ordination requirement there. Beginning from the baptism of John until that same day that he was taken up from us, must one be ordained to be a witness with us of his resurrection. And they appointed two, Joseph called Barsabas, who was surnamed Justus, and Matthias. And they prayed and said, Thou, Lord, which knowest the hearts of all men, show whether of these two thou hast chosen, that he may take part of this ministry and apostleship, from which Judas by transgression fell, that he might go to his own place. And they gave forth their lots, and the lot fell upon Matthias, and he was numbered with the 11 apostles. Okay, so that's just a little history story, how they filled up the empty slot. Here we go. Chapter 2. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven, as of a rushing mighty wind. And it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of fire. Like as of fire. Simile. Like. And it sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Okay, now we see where speaking in tongues is defined. And there were dwelling at Jerusalem Jews, the devout men, out of every nation under heaven. Now when this was noised abroad, the multitude came together and were confounded, because that every man heard them speak in his own language. And they were all amazed and marveled, saying one to another, Behold, are not all these which speak Galileans? And how hear we every man in our own tongue, wherein we were born? That is pretty wild to think how that would take place. Parthians and Medes and Elamites and the dwellers of Mesopotamia and in Judea and Cappadocia and Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia in Egypt and parts of Libya about Cyrene, and strangers of Rome, Jews and proselytes, Cretes and Arabians, we do hear them speak in our tongues the wonderful works of God. And it's not words, it's works of God. That's worth thinking about. And they're all amazed. And we're in doubt, saying one to another, What meaneth this? Always got to have the mockers, you know. Others, mocking, said, These men are full of new wine. But Peter, standing up with the 11, lifted up his voice and said unto them, Ye men of Judea, and all ye that dwell at Jerusalem, be this known unto you, and hearken to my words. For these are not drunken, as ye suppose, seeing it is but the third hour of the day. But this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel. And it came to pass, in the last day, saith God, I will pour out my Spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. And this is really what everybody's talking about today. And on my servants and on my handmaidens I will pour out in those days of my Spirit, and they shall prophesy. And I will show wonders in heaven above and signs in the earth beneath, blood and fire and vapor and smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before that great and notable day of the Lord come. And it shall come to pass that whoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. So there it is. That ties it all in, see? No, it doesn't. Because we also find out that they can lose it. And some things there. But that's true. That's what it says there. You men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved of God among you by miracles and wonders and signs, which God did by him in the midst of you, as ye yourselves also know, him being delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God, ye have taken, and by wicked hands have crucified and slain, whom God hath raised up, having loosed the pains of death, because it was not possible that he should be holden of it. For David speaketh concerning him, I foresaw the Lord always before my face, for he is on my right hand, that I should not be moved. Therefore did my heart rejoice, and my tongue was glad. Moreover also my flesh shall rest in hope. I like that, my tongue was glad. What do you talk about? What do you say? Is it a glad tongue? Because thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, neither wilt thou suffer thine holy one to see corruption. Thou hast made known to me the ways of life. Thou shalt make me full of joy with thy countenance. Men and brethren, let me freely speak unto you of the patriarch David, that he is both dead and buried, and his sepulchre is with us unto this day. Therefore, being a prophet, and knowing that God had sworn with an oath to him, that the fruit of his loins, according to the flesh, he would raise up Christ to sit on his throne. He, seeing this before, spake of the resurrection of Christ, that his soul was not left in hell, neither his flesh did see corruption. So why do people have a problem with Christ going to hell? I mean, that's what it says. But oh well. This Jesus hath God raised up, for we are all witnesses. And I bet you these guys are getting tense now in the little crowd here. Therefore, being by the right hand of God exalted, and having received of the Father the promise of the Holy Ghost, he hath shed forth this, which ye now know, which ye now see and hear. For David is not ascended into the heavens, but he saith himself, The Lord said unto my Lord, Sit thou my right hand, till I make thy foes thy footstool. Therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God hath made that same Jesus, whom ye have crucified, both Lord and Christ. That's the risen Christ. You got to change now. Now, when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart, and said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, Men and brethren, what shall we do? And Peter said unto them, Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and he received the gift of the Holy Ghost. And Paul doesn't teach that. For the promises unto you, and to your children, and to all that are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. There's that calling again. And with many other words did he testify and exhort, saying, Save yourselves from this untoward generation. Then they that gladly received his word were baptized, and the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, as apostles' doctrine and fellowship, and in breaking of bread and in prayers. And fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done by the apostles, which we'll read out about in a few minutes here. And all that believed were together and had all things common, and sold their possessions and goods, and parted them to all men, to every man had need, as every man had need. And they, continuing daily with one accord in the temple, and breaking bread from house to house, did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart. That's nice. Wouldn't that be marvelous? Praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. That's the philosophy of today's churches. More and more. Chapter 3. Now Peter and John went together into the temple at the hour of prayer, being the ninth hour. And a certain man, lame from his mother's womb, was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms of them that entered into the temple, who, seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asked an alms. And Peter, fastening his eyes upon him with John, said, Look on us. And he gave heed unto them, expecting to receive something of them. Then Peter said, Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. You've seen that on TV. But it did happen in his day. And he took him by the right hand and lifted him up. And immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength, and he leaping, hadn't walked, now he's leaping, stood and walked and entered with them into the temple, walking and leaping and praising God. And all the people saw him walking and praising God. And they knew that it was he which sat for alms at the beautiful gate of the temple, and they were filled with wonder and amazement at that which had happened unto him. And as the lame man which was healed held Peter and John, all the people ran together unto them in the porch that is called Solomon's, greatly wondering. And when Peter saw it, he answered unto the people, Ye men of Israel, why marvel ye at this? Or why look ye so earnestly on us, as though by our own power or holiness we had made this man to walk? This is what they say too, isn't it? They say, Oh, it's not me that's doing this to you people. Come on, it's not me. And it wasn't. Then, the God of Abraham and of Isaac and of Jacob, the God of our fathers, hath glorified his son Jesus, whom he delivered up and denied him in the presence of Pilate, when he was determined to let him go. But ye denied the Holy One and the just, and desired a murderer to be granted unto you. I tell you, Peter and Stephen really do some sermonating here, don't they? And killed the Prince of Life, whom God hath raised from the dead, whereof we are witnesses. And his name, through faith in his name, hath made this man strong, whom ye see and know. Yea, the faith which is by him. So here we have this teaching that you're healed based on your faith, and if you can't get healed, it's because of your faith. You don't have any. The faith which is by him hath given him this perfect soundness in the presence of you all. And now, brethren, I wot that through ignorance ye did it, as did also your rulers. But those things which God before had showed by the mouth of all his prophets, that Christ should suffer, he hath so fulfilled. Repent ye therefore, and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out. That's not quite the same. When the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord, and he shall send Jesus Christ, which was before was preached unto you, whom the heaven must receive until the times of restitution of all things. It's called payback. Which God has spoken by the mouth of all his holy prophets since the world began. For Moses truly said unto the fathers, a prophet shall the Lord your God raise up unto you of your brethren, like unto me. Him shall ye hear in all things whatsoever he shall say unto you. It shall come to pass that every soul which will not hear that prophet shall be destroyed from among the people. Yea, and all the prophets from Samuel and those that follow after, as many as have spoken, have likewise foretold of these days. Ye are the children of the prophets and of the covenant which God made with our fathers, saying unto Abraham, and in thy seed shall all the kindreds of the earth be blessed. Unto you first, God, having raised up his son Jesus, sent him to bless you in turning away every one of you from his iniquities. And we know that all took place. Chapter 4. And as they spake unto the people, the priests and the captain and of the temple and the Sadducees came upon them, being grieved that they taught the people and preached through Jesus the resurrection from the dead. I mean, how could they preach such a thing? And they laid hands on them, but a little differently this time, and put them in hold until the next day, for it was now eventide. So they were arrested. Okay? They were arrested. Howbeit, many of them which heard the word believed. And the number of the men was about 5,000. There's that numbers again. And it came to pass on the morrow that the rulers and elders and scribes and Annas the high priest and Caiaphas and Sapphias and John and Alexander and as many as were the kindred of the high priest were gathered together at Jerusalem. What a gathering. And they were, when they had set them in the midst, they asked, by what power or by what name have ye done this? Then Peter, filled with the Holy Ghost, said unto them, ye rulers of the people and elders of Israel. Now, how do we talk being filled with the Holy Ghost? Scripture. We can have wisdom, we can say the right thing, but it's got to be based on scriptures, and the Lord tells us what to say to people right here. If we this day be examined of the good deed done to the impotent men, by what means is he made whole? Be it known unto you all and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom ye crucified, whom God hath raised from the dead, even by him doth this man stand here before you whole. And we have people say that tell them, God told me to say this, God told me this, God told me that, all that kind of stuff. You've got to get it from the book. This is the stone which was set at naught of you builders, which has become the head of the corner. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John, and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, they marveled, and they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. And beholding the man which was healed standing with them, they could say nothing against it. But when they had commanded them to go out, do a sight out of the council, they conferred among themselves, saying, what shall we do to these men? For that indeed a notable miracle hath been done by them is manifest to all them that dwell in Jerusalem, and we cannot deny it. It's like people are excited. What do we do? I mean, these people have a Bible. Their lives have changed. They're homeschooling now. They're taking care of their children now. They're changing differently. They're dressing differently. Or if they're still in school, they're different in school. They're talking things. They got their Bible with them now. King James Bible, of course. And they say, we don't pray around the prayer pole, or the prayer pole, the flagpole. We don't do the things all these everybody else is doing. We're different. We're serving the living God no matter where we are. And there's something different there. And they're concerned. What are we going to do about this? Because everybody's seen it. Can we tell them no Bibles in school? Who was that lady that did that? Madeline Muir. Yeah. 16. What shall we do to these men? For that indeed a notable miracle has been done by them is manifest to all them that dwell in Tushi. And we cannot deny it. But that it spread no further among the people, let us straitly threaten them. And they speak henceforth to no man in this name. And they called them and commanded them not to speak at all, nor teach in the name of Jesus. But Peter and John answered and said unto them, whether it be right in the sight of God to hearken unto you more than unto God, judge ye. For we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard. Isn't that all we want to do is show people we've read in our Bibles? It's not a teaching, it's a rightly divided Bible that helps them understand what it is that we're saying. So when they had further threatened them, they let them go, finding nothing how they might punish them because of the people. For all men glorified God for that which was done. Unfortunately, today, the people aren't for it either. That's where we're at. For the man was about 40 years old, of whom this miracle of healing was showed. And being let go, they went to their own company and reported all that the chief priests and elders had said unto them. And when they heard that, they lifted up their voice to God with one accord and said, Lord, thou art God which hast made heaven and earth and the sea and all that in them is. Who by the mouth of the servant David has said, why did the heathen rage and the people imagine vain things? The kings of the earth stood up, and the rulers were gathered together against the Lord and against his Christ. Well, we know that's taken place. For of a truth, against the holy child of Jesus, whom thou hast anointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate, with the Gentiles and the people of Israel, were gathered together. For to do whatsoever thy hand and thy counsel determined before to be done. And now, Lord, behold their threatenings, and grant unto thy servants that with all boldness they may speak thy word. By stretching forth thine hand to heal, and that signs and wonders may be done by the name of thy holy child Jesus. So here we are, we're having all these difficulties, and we're trying to get our families and relatives and grandkids and nieces to see what we're talking about. And don't we just sometimes say, Lord, can you just show some kind of a something that happened tomorrow in my life or in some life somewhere that they see what they need to do is this. And what are we waiting for people to see? We're waiting for them to see that this country is crashing. The churches are going to go the way they're going. We're still waiting for people to what? See. Well, that's what they want. They want to see. Well, what does it take to believe this Bible? It takes faith. Don't have faith. So they're playing the game of having to see. And here's where it all takes place. Verse 31. And when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. And they spake the word of God with boldness. What do we have today? 5,000, 10,000, 20,000 people auditoriums, and the music is playing, and the people are shaking, and they're doing all this kind of stuff. You imagine the places. Let's all just start bumping them. I bet you we could get this building to shake. And that's what they did, real. But it would be a fake today, or the devil would be behind it. And the multitude of them that believed were of one heart and of one soul. Boy, we're doing good to get 30 to think of that kind of a thing, based on this Bible. But the Bible should be our unity. Neither said to them that aught of the things which he possessed was his own, but they had all things common. They knew it was all from the Lord. And with great power gave the apostles witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all. Neither was there any among them that lacked, for as many as were possessors of lands or houses sold them and brought the prices of the things that were sold. There you go. We need our $50,000 to keep our church going for the next 10 years. Okay, you all sell your houses and bring your profit in here, of course, and we'll keep this place going. Remember Clarence and all the stuff that he's dealing with back there in South Carolina? And laid them down at the apostles' feet, and distribution was made unto every man according as he had need. That's just what these Pentecostal guys say they do. They don't, but they say that's what they're doing. And Joses, who by the apostles was surnamed Barnabas, which is being interpreted the son of Consolation, a Levite and of the country of Cyprus, having land, sold it and brought the money and laid it at the apostles' feet. There you are. Marvelous. Marvelous. But a certain man named Ananias, with Sapphira, his wife, sold the possession, kept back part of the price. And his wife, also being privy to it, brought a certain part and laid it at the apostles' feet. But Peter said, Ananias, why hath Satan filled thine heart to lie to the Holy Ghost and to keep back part of the price of the land? Whilst it remained, was it not thine own? And after it was sold, was it not in thine own power? Why hast thou conceived this thing in thine heart? Thou hast not lied unto men, but unto God. Boy, do you ever hear that kind of talk. And Ananias, hearing these words, fell down and gave up the ghost. That means he died. And great fear came on all them that heard these things. Wouldn't you? I mean, Jimmy, next time you miss, you're gonna fall over dead. And then the Thursday morning paper, Jimmy Turner, suddenly died. Bet your church attendance might be a little better. I'll bet you some of these churches, as the election grows nearer, church attendance is going to grow. It happened when they 88 reasons for the Lord to come back, 1988. Ever remember any of that stuff? In the church back in New York, I mean, we were singing up a storm that night, just because it was like the next day or something. And then the next Sunday, the crowd was down. Nobody was singing up anything because they expected, there were people that sold their everything to make that thing. Now, if you're going to be raptured out of here, why do you have to sell anything? What's the purpose of selling to get everything? What do you care? That kind of thinking. It's just weird stuff. So it comes out of here. Well, it got better here yet. And Ananias, he fell down. The young man arose, wound him up, and carried him out and buried him. Just like that. It was about the space of 3 hours later when his wife, not knowing what was done, came in. And Peter answered and heard, "Tell me whether you sold the land for so much." And she said, "Yea, for so much." Then Peter said unto her, "How is it that ye have agreed together to tempt the Spirit of the Lord? Behold, the feet of them which have buried thy husband are at the..." Boy, isn't that something? I mean, you come to church one morning and there's a hearse outside. And you got these guys that we met for yours, and they're standing by the back door. And you come up and say, "Well, you guys come to visit the church?" "No, your preacher called me. He says they're going to be needed today." Somebody's going to be carried out of here after that sermon. We know who it's going to be. Right? That's what they're doing here. The young men came in and found her dead. Carrying her forth, buried her by her husband. That was nice of them. And great fear came upon all the church and upon as many as heard these things. By the hands of the apostles were many signs and wonders wrought among the people, and they were all with one accord in Solomon's porch, and of the rest durst no man join himself to them, but the people magnified them. And believers were the more added to the Lord, multitudes both of men and women, insomuch that they brought forth the sick into the streets and laid them on beds and couches. Then at least the shadow of Peter passing might overshadow some of them. There came also multitude out of the cities round about unto Jerusalem, bringing sick folks unto them which were vexed with unclean spirits, and they were healed every one. That's exactly what the end of Mark says was going to happen. That's exactly what it says. Going to be followed by signs and wonders and healings and all that stuff. I mean, it's taking place. Then the high priest rose up, and all that were with him, which is the sect of the Sadducees, and were filled with indignation, and laid their hands on the apostles and put them in a common prison. Isn't that amazing? But the angel of the Lord by night opened the prison doors and brought them forth and said, "Go, stand and speak in the temple to the people all the words of this life." And when they heard that, they entered into the temple early in the morning. Now you got a picture of this stuff. This is true. And taught. But the high priest came and they that were with him and called the council together and all the senate of the children of Israel and sent to the prison to have them brought. But when the officers came and found them not in the prison, they returned and told, saying, "The prison truly found we shut with all safety, and the keeper standing without before the doors. But when it opened, we found no man within." They were not there. Now when the high priest and the captain of the temple and the chief priests heard these things, they doubted of them whereunto this would grow. Then came one and told them, saying, "Behold, the men whom ye put in prison are standing in the temple and teaching the people." What? That has to be just a thing to hear that. Then went the captain with the officers and brought them without violence, for they feared the people, lest they should have been stoned. And when they had brought them, they set them before the council, and the high priest asked them, saying, now why did the, look back at verse 26, why did, if they went there without violence, brought them back without violence, they didn't fight it. Why didn't they fight it? Because isn't there a couple of verses in Matthew where it says, agree with thine adversary? Remember that? So they came to arrest him. Okay, I guess we got to go with you. Instead of making the big fuss, I'm free, I can do this kind of a thing, they went with him. Is that what we should do today? Say 27, when he had brought them, they set them before the council, and the high priest asked them, saying, did not we straitly command you that ye should not teach in this name? And behold, ye have filled Jerusalem with your doctrine, and intend to bring this man's blood upon us. That's still what they hate that today. Then Peter and the other apostles answered and said, we ought to obey God rather than men. Now today we owe the book. We obey the book we're supposed to. The God of our fathers raised up Jesus, whom ye slew and hanged on a tree. Him hath God exalted with his right hand to be a prince and a savior, for to give repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sins. Again, to Israel there mentioned that. And we are his witnesses of these things, and so it is also the Holy Ghost whom God hath given to them that obey him. See, there's no obey. It's an obey, obedience thing. They get the Holy Ghost by obedience. When they heard that, they were cut to the heart and took counsel to slay them. Then stood there up one in the council, a Pharisee named Gamaliel, a doctor of the law, had a reputation among all the people and commanded to put the apostles forth a little space. Never had people say, give a little space. And said unto them, ye men of Israel, take heed to yourselves what ye intend to do as touching these men. For before these days rose up Asutius, boasting himself to be somebody, to whom a number of men, about 400, joined themselves, who was slain. And all as many as obeyed him were scattered and brought to naught. After this man rose up Judas of Galilee in the days of the taxing, and drew away much people after him, he also perished, and all, even as many as obeyed him, were dispersed. And now I say unto you, refrain from these men, and let them alone. For if this counsel of this work be of men, it will come to naught. But if it be of God, ye cannot overthrow it, lest haply ye be found even to fight against God. That's a question we often ask ourselves, is what we're about to do of God or of men? Well, how do we know if it's of God? Check out the scriptures, rightly divided. That's how we can tell. And even at that, who hindered Paul? Satan hindered Paul. Does that mean it's not of God because it doesn't get done? Maybe. No, maybe just Satan hindered it. Maybe we botched it or something. Verse 40, and to him they agreed, and when they had called the apostles and beaten them, they commanded that they should not speak in the name of Jesus and let them go. And they departed from the presence of the council, rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer shame for his name. And yes, we should be willing to count the affliction and suffering reproach. But how many times do we suffer these things that we don't need to either? Or to go out and do it on purpose. And daily in the temple and in every house they ceased not to teach and preach Jesus Christ. Well, that's what we say. Chapter 6, a short one. And in those days, when the number of the disciples was multiplied, there arose a murmuring of the Grecians against the Hebrews. You know the murmuring story. Because their widows were neglected in the daily ministration. Then the 12 called the multitude of the disciples unto them and said, it is not reason that we should leave the word of God and serve tables. Whereof, brethren, look ye out among you seven men of honest report, full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom, whom we may appoint over this business. But we will give ourselves continually to prayer and to the ministry of the word. And the saying pleased the whole multitude, and they chose Stephen, a man full of faith and of the Holy Ghost, and Philip, and Prochorus, and Nicanor, and Timon, Parmenas, and Nicholas, a proselyte of Antioch, when they sat before the apostles, and when they had prayed, they laid their hands on them. There's all this stuff. And the word of God increased. And the number of the disciples multiplied in Jerusalem greatly. And a great company of the priests were obedient to the faith. And Stephen, full of faith and power, did great wonders and miracles among the people. Then there arose certain of the synagogue, which is called the synagogue of the Libertines and Cyrenians and Alexandrians, and of them Cilicia and of Asia, disputing with Stephen. And they were not able to resist the wisdom and the spirit by which he spake. They can resist our wisdom, but they can't resist what this Bible says. They can ignore it, they can reject it, but it is what it says today. They have suborned men, which said, we have heard him speak blasphemous words against Moses and against God. And that's what rightly dividing looks like it does to people. And they stirred up the people and the elders and the scribes and came upon him and caught him and brought him to the council and set up false... Got to have a false witness because you won't find a true one. Set up false witnesses which said, this man ceaseth not to speak blasphemous words against his holy place and the law. For we have heard him say that this Jesus of Nazareth shall destroy this place and shall change the customs which Moses has delivered us. And all that sat in the council looking steadfast on him saw his face and had been the face of an angel. Now, if my face ever looked like that when I'm ready to do a sermon, the glow was there, but it was for Stephen. Then said, in the last chapter, then said the high priest, are these things so? And here we go. And he said, men, brethren, and fathers, hearken. The God of glory appeared unto our father Abraham when he was in Mesopotamia. Here's our history. Here's our history unit now. Before he dwelt in Sharon. And said unto him, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred, and come into the land which I shall show thee. Then came he out of the land of the Chaldeans and dwelt in Sharon. And from thence, when his father was dead, he removed him from this land wherein ye now dwell. And he gave him none inheritance in it. No, not so much as to set his foot on. Yet he promised that he would give it to him for a possession and to his seed after him, when as yet he had no child. And God spake on this wise, that his seed should sojourn in a strange land, and that they should bring them unto bondage and entreat them evil 400 years. And the nation to whom they shall be in bondage will I judge, said God. And after that they shall come forth and serve me in this place. And he gave him the covenant of circumcision. And so Abraham begat Isaac and circumcised him the eighth day. Isaac begat Jacob, and Jacob begat the 12 patriarchs. And the patriarchs moved with envy and sold Joseph into Egypt. But God was with him. You know the stories all so far? Isn't that exciting to you? Delivered him out of his, all of his afflictions, and you know what they were. And gave him favor and wisdom in the sight of Pharaoh, king of Egypt. And he made him governor over Egypt and all his home. Now there came a dearth over all the land of Egypt and Canaan, and great affliction. And our fathers found no sustenance. But when Jacob heard that there was corn in Egypt, he sent out our fathers first. And at the second time Joseph was made known to his brethren, and Joseph's kindred was made known unto Pharaoh, then sent Joseph and called his father Jacob to him, and all his kindred, there's 70 souls. So Jacob went down into Egypt and died, he and our fathers. And were carried over into Sichem, and laid in the sepulchre that Abraham bought with a sum of money for the sons of Emor, the father of Sichem. But when the time of the promise drew nigh, which God had sworn to Abraham, the people grew and multiplied in Egypt, till another king arose which knew not Joseph. The same dealt subtly with our kindred, and evil entreated our fathers, so that they cast out their young children to them that they might not live. In which time Moses was born and was exceeding fair and nourished up in his father's house 3 months. I picture what this guy's doing. Stephen's just telling everybody the history of all the stuff that's taken place. And we should be able to do that with our Bible. Things that we've learned in our Bible and read and the Old Testament and the Gospels, and mentioned that the Gospels, the New Testament begins at the death of Christ, and take them through Acts. And here's all the marvelous stuff in Paul, and here's all the things that we should be doing to please God. And by the way, here's the tribulation. Here's what it's going to be like in the tribulation. And whew, that's how we should be able to be that. In which time Moses was born and was exceeding fair and nourished up in his father's house 3 months. And when he was cast out, Pharaoh's daughter took him up and nourished him for her own son. And Moses was learned in all the wisdom of the Egyptians, and was mighty in words and in deeds. And when he was full 40 years old, it came into his heart to visit his brethren, the children of Israel. And seeing one of them suffer wrong, he defended him and avenged him that was oppressed and smote the Egyptian. You know that story. For he supposed his brethren would have understood how that God by his hand would deliver them. But they understood not. And the next day he showed himself unto them as they strove, and would have set them apart, set them at one again, saying, sirs, your brethren, why do ye wrong one to another? But he that did his neighbor wrong thrust him away, saying, who made thee a ruler and a judge over us? Wilt thou kill me as thou didst the Egyptian yesterday? Ta-da! Ta-da! How do you know that? But he that did his neighbor wrong thrust him away. Wilt thou kill me as thou didst the Egyptian yesterday? Then fled Moses at this saying, and was a stranger in the land of Midian, for he begat 2 sons. And when 40 years were expired, there appeared to him in the wilderness of Mount Sinai an angel of the Lord in a flame of fire in a bush. When Moses saw it, he wondered at the sight. Now we know this story. And as he drew near to behold it, the voice of the Lord came unto him, saying, I am the God of thy fathers, the God of Abraham, and the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. Then Moses trembled and durst not behold. Then said the Lord to him, put off thy shoes from thy feet, for the place where thou standest is holy ground. I have seen the affliction of my people which is in Egypt, and I have heard their groaning, and I have come down to deliver them. And now come, I will send thee into Egypt. This Moses, whom they refused, saying, Who made thee a ruler and a judge? The same did God said send to be a ruler and a deliverer by the hand of the angel which appeared to him in the bush. He brought them out. After that he had showed wonders and signs in the land of Egypt and in the Red Sea and in the wilderness 40 years. This is that Moses which said unto the children of Israel, A prophet shall the Lord your God raise up unto you of your brethren, like unto me, him shall ye hear. This is he that was in the church in the wilderness with the angel which spake to him in the Mount Sinai and with our fathers who received the lively oracles to give unto us, to whom our fathers would not obey, but thrust him from them and in their hearts turned back again into Egypt, saying unto Aaron, Make us gods to go before us. For this Moses, which brought us out of the land of Egypt, we wot not what has become of him. And they made a calf in those days, we know this story, and offered sacrifice unto the idol, and rejoiced in the works of their own hands. Then God turned and gave them up to worship the host of heaven, as it is written in the book of the prophets, O ye house of Israel, have ye offered to me slain beasts and sacrifices by the space of 40 years in the wilderness? Yea, ye took up the tabernacle of Moloch, and the star of your God, Rephim, figures which ye made to worship them, and I will carry you away beyond Babylon. Our fathers had the tabernacle of witness in the wilderness, and as he had appointed, speaking unto Moses, that he should make it according to the fashion that he had seen. Which also our fathers that came after brought in with Jesus into the possession of the Gentiles, whom God drave out before the face of our fathers into the days of David, who found favor before God, and desired to find a tabernacle for the God of Jacob. But Solomon built him a house. Howbeit the Most High dwelleth not in temples made with hands, as saith the prophet. Heaven is my throne, and earth is my footstool. The house will ye build me, saith the Lord, or what is the place of my rest? Hath not my hand made all these things? Stephen just turns here, ye stiff-necked and uncircumcised in hearts and ears. Ye do always resist the Holy Ghost, as your fathers did, so do ye. Which of the prophets have not your fathers persecuted? And they have slain them which showed before of the commandment coming of the just one, of whom ye have been now the betrayers and murderers, who have received the law by the disposition of angels and have not kept it. When they heard these things, they were cut to the heart, and they gnashed on him with their teeth. I mean, they chunked on him with his mouth. I'll never do that at your panelists. I want you to know that. Any teacher, whatever. But he, being full of the Holy Ghost, looked up steadfast into heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing in the right hand of God. Quite a thing to behold. And said, Behold, I see the heavens opened and the Son of Man standing on the right hand of God. Then they cried out with a loud voice and stopped their ears and ran upon him with one accord and cast him out of the city and stoned him. And the witnesses laid down their clothes at a young man's feet whose name was... Who was that, Caitlin? Saul. And Saul is going to become who? Paul. That's the one. And they stoned Stephen, calling upon God. Isn't that amazing? And saying, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. That's him. And he kneeled down and cried with a loud voice, Lord, lay not this sin to their charge. And when he had said this, he fell asleep. And that's not the snoring kind. He died. And Saul, who's going to be who, Caitlin? Paul, was consenting unto his death. And at that time there was a great persecution against the church, which was at Jerusalem. And they were all scattered abroad throughout the region of Judea and Samaria, except the apostles. And devout men carried Stephen to his burial and made great lamentation over him. As for Saul, who's going to be who, Caitlin? Paul. Made havoc of the church, entering into every house and haling men and women, committed them to prison. Therefore, they that were scattered abroad went everywhere preaching the word. And that's very important to know that because of Peter. 1 and 2 Peter, because it talks about them that are scattered abroad. People think that's the Christians. Then Philip went down to the city of Samaria and preached Christ unto them. Now it's preaching Christ, see? And the people with one accord gave heed unto those things which Philip spake, hearing and seeing the miracles which he did. For unclean spirits, crying with loud voice, came out many that were possessed with them, and many taken with palsies, and were lame and were healed. And there was great joy in that city. Now, here's another story now. But Simon, there was a certain man called Simon, which before time in the same city used sorcery, and bewitched the people of Samaria, giving out that himself was some great one. Boy, we got a lot of those people. To whom they gave all heed, from the least to the greatest, saying, this man is a great power of God. Let's vote for him. Everybody's voting for him, you know. And to him they that had regard, because of the long time he had bewitched them with sorceries. So when they believed Philip, preaching the things concerning the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ, they were baptized, both men and women. Then Simon himself believed also, and when he was baptized, he continued with Philip and wondered, beholding the miracles and signs which were done. Now when the apostles which were at Jerusalem heard that Samaria had received the word of God, they sent unto them Peter and John, who, when they were come down, prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Ghost. For as yet he was falling upon none of them, only they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Isn't that interesting? Then laid their hands on them, and they received the Holy Ghost. That's why the delay when somebody says, well, when you're saved, huh? Well, have you received the Holy Ghost? So we get that right here. And when Simon saw that through laying on the apostles' hands the Holy Ghost was given, he offered them money. Well, of course. And when Simon, saying, give me also this power, that on whomsoever I lay hands, he may receive the Holy Ghost. And what are Christians looking for today? Power. They want this prayer power. They want this power in their lives to fix things, and they're being told to give money to get that power. Give me also this power. But Peter said unto him, thy money perish with thee, because thou hast thought that the gift of God may be purchased with money. Thou hast neither part nor lot in this matter, for thy heart is not right in the sight of God. There's that phrase now. Repent therefore of this thy wickedness, and pray God if perhaps the thoughts of thine heart may be forgiven thee. Perhaps. That's always good to put a doubt there for him. Well, boy, I sure hope he does. What do I need to do? Kind of a deal. For I perceive that thou art in the gall of bitterness and in the bond of iniquity. And yes, bitterness is a very dangerous thing. Then answered Simon and said, pray ye to the Lord for me that none of these things which ye have spoken come upon me. And they, when they had testified and preached the word of the Lord, returned to Jerusalem and preached the gospel in many villages of the Samaritans. And the angel of the Lord spake unto Philip, saying, arise and go toward the south unto the way that goeth down from Jerusalem into Gaza, which is desert. And he rose and went, and behold, a man of Ethiopia, an eunuch of great authority under Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who had the charge of all her treasure, and had come to Jerusalem for to worship, was returning, and sitting in his chariot, read Esaias the prophet. Then the Spirit said unto Philip, go near, and join thyself to this chariot. And Philip ran thither to him, and heard him read the prophet Esaias, and said, understandest thou what thou readest? And he said, how can I accept some man that should guide me? And he desired Philip that he would come up and sit with him. The place of the scripture which he read was this: he was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and like a lamb dumb before its shearer, so opened he not his mouth. In his humiliation his judgment was taken away, and who shall declare his generation? For his life is taken from the earth. And the eunuch said, answered Philip, and said, I pray thee, of whom speaketh the prophet this, of himself or some other man? And Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. You've heard that phrase. And they went their way, they came unto a certain water, and the eunuch said, see, here it is, water. What doth hinder me to be baptized? And Philip said, if thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. He answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. That's what he believed. And he commanded the chariot to stand still. They went both down into the water, both Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him. And when they were come up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord caught away Philip. And the eunuch saw him no more, and he went on his way rejoicing. But Philip was found at Azotus. And passing through, he preached in all the cities till he came to Caesarea. That's amazing stuff. And there's so much in there that we hear today. There's so much that we hear today. And you, all I could do is just read that thing, and we just must all recognize something that we have heard with church, what's going on in church today. And you've got to understand what it is that Paul preaches and what Paul teaches and the manner of life and all these things that he's saying, the doctrine of the risen Christ and beyond Peter's teachings there and everything. And to recognize there's a difference there. There's a difference there. Is it a serious difference? It's a serious difference. It's a serious difference. So anyway, what I wanted to do was just to show us that that's the Great Commission took place. There it is. But that's not today. Should not be today. And you've got friends and family that if they actually did know any scripture, that's where they'd have to go to show you the experiences that they're hearing.